I've chosen for my topic tonight, the religion of truth. I would like to read to you an article written by Swami Ramdas entitled World Fellowship. The eternal divine principle, which is the cause of the world manifestation, is at once an imminent and transcendent reality. So to realize this great truth, we have to go within ourselves. Since the truth is all-pervading, it forms an immortal and indissoluble link that unites all beings and creatures in the world. This is an all-inclusive and all-comprehensive reality. Inherently, we are universal and perfect in nature. When man awakens to the consciousness of this perfection of his existence, he feels through the inner spiritual experience that he is one with all beings and things in the universe, nay, that the entire revelation of nature in its various aspects and multifarious activities is the expression of his own infinite and eternal being. Utter freedom, bliss, power, and peace are only for him or her who has attained to this supreme beatific vision. In this vision, the ephemeral values of life disappear, and man, shuffling off his local, limited, and imperfect nature, stands revealed as a veritable embodiment of divine effulgence, power, and glory. Now universal love is his creed, universal vision his religion. The momentous changes we are now witnessing in the affairs of humanity are the signs of a transitional period veering humanity towards the acceptance of a universal consciousness and brotherhood. Chaos and confusion bring forth order and harmony. A long night ends in a resplendent day. A wail of misery and pain is succeeded by joy and exultation. War, strife, and bloodshed, washing away the dirt of selfish human nature, pave the way to unity, harmony, and peace. A superficial view of affairs as they prevail at present seems to offer ample food for a pessimist who is ever busy singing the one refrain of despair and despondency. But the seer who sees things afar and whose inward vision reveals to him the glory of a future filled with goodwill, harmony, and joy is carrying his heartening message to the perplexed humanity. The question would be asked whether the optimistic view of a seer is at all possible or practicable of consummation. The divine principle embedded in the very life of the universe stands for unity and harmony, and this infinite power, in its spontaneous outgrowth, strives to bring about order out of chaos. So the note of despair and disbelief has no place in a world which is rapidly evolving towards a supreme state of world union and world fellowship. If, with a wide sweep of vision, we care to observe the great changes that are happening in the world, we have to admit that the almighty power has been deeply engaged in breaking down the walls of ignorance that have so long kept apart man from man, community from community, religion from religion, and nation from nation. The light has now dawned on humanity, a light which is arousing them to the knowledge of the common and eternal bond that unites them into one life and one unit. Let every one of us put his shoulders to this giant wheel of evolution and hasten the coming of the magnificent kingdom of cosmic vision, harmony, and peace. And this was written in April of 1936 by my guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, entitled The Unseen Church. On the soil of eternity, I built an unseen church where all might worship. Here under the blue dome, illumined by sun, moon, aurora, Milky Way, and wisdom lights, are gathered the assembled star families, island universes, solar systems, and the little earth with its millions of families of many religions. Every day during the vesper hour, the flying angels of thought soar over infinity, calling mute and noisy beings to forsake their age-long slumber and join the cosmic service of awakening. The altars of one rhythm, united hearts of commingled lives, of molten gold of cosmic union, and electrified matter were dimly burning with his gentle, enchanting presence. The comets arrived and shed their joyous tears of light. The stars poured their twinkles at his feet of eternity, and the prodigal soul shed tears of repentance for age-long forgetful wanderings. All the blossoms of the earth opened the cork of petals and loosened their liquid fragrance on his omnipresent altar. The dew of devotion from the heart of all true tears meekly but steadily flowed over his feet of forgiveness. Love, hate, light and gloom, wisdom and ignorance, good and bad, all thronged into the church of all creation. And a silent sermon of the infinite was heard in the silence. A silent song of mirth filled the chalice of all lives. A silent smile of light drove the hidden gloom away from all. Under the silent spell of his sermon, love embraced hate, light hugged gloom, wisdom transmuted, ignorance, good charmed bad. Many religions embraced his one faith of truth. Many hearts dissolved into one altar of heart. Many loves became his one pure love, and many souls became one spirit. And all of them sang with one voice, the chorus of one religion, one life, one truth, one goal, one devotion, one love, and one spirit. Now from Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. We give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. It would be a wonderful thing if you will only stop to reflect upon it deeply. If everyone were to give up the idea that he belonged to a certain church, to a certain religion by a certain name, and think of himself only as a disciple of God, it would be a wonderful thing if there was one religion under God, because there is only one God who is the Father of us all. If you continue to follow the social religions, and by that I mean those that follow the dogmatic path, and instead of exploring the higher truth of the Spirit, then indeed you will not make true spiritual progress. You must go beyond all religion in order to find the religion of truth. That path is to be trod only within yourself. Everything hinges on your own conscious willingness to receive the truth, to reach out for it, to want it with everything you have. If you are satisfied with platitudes, with fairy tales, with parables, then this type of thing that I'm speaking of is not yet for you. But to the one who is willing to pick up his cross, which is his body, and lay down his life for God. And by that I mean not to die a human death in the way we think of the physical death, but to give up his life in total surrender to God, to go through whatever spiritual experiences are necessary for him to realize this great truth within himself, that he is indeed the temple of the living God. Remember that it says in John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you first start on the path, you come to a spiritual teacher who has picked up his or her cross and has trod the path on the way to glory, who has gone over the top and found the real truth within himself or herself. You approach it in accordance with that which is within your own consciousness. Many come and ask questions about their daily life. Many come asking for prayers and help in sickness, in trouble, in finding jobs, whatever. There are many, many requests along that line. But it is the obligation, the responsibility of the teacher of truth to get them back on the track and to put forth the saying which is above all others in the Bible, that if you will seek God and the kingdom of heaven first, then all of the other things shall be added unto you. That knowledge, that kingdom, that heaven, and that hell, if you will, are within yourself. And your life is exactly what you will make it. But if you really are a seeker of truth, then you will want to know the truth behind all of these so-called phrases that are put before us. You will forget about the historical religion you have been taught, and you will do as the Christ enjoined, to seek the kingdom of heaven within yourself, because he said that is where it is to be found. Now you must have the methods for doing that. And in the few simple techniques which we give, which are natural to the workings of your own being, the technique of the spiritual eye, the technique of hearing the word of God, or the Om sound, which the Christians call Amen or Amen, and the watching of the breath so that the breath may be completely still and the body remain in a state of suspended animation. These are the techniques, the few techniques which are taught to you, and they will take you a tremendous way. You will have great experiences in God. But the greatest gift that you can give God is his love, is your love, your obedience, and your total surrender of everything which you call yourself and your own. And few indeed are willing to give that. You will say, well, I will give this. Yes, I'm willing to do it. I will give this, but what about my children? I'm responsible. What about my job? I have to work, don't I, to earn a living. I can't keep my mind on God all of the time and still keep my mind concentrated on my work. I have heard these things and a million more given as excuses not to follow the path of God, not to put him first. And yet without him, we are nothing and we can do nothing, because he is the sole creator, sustainer, and dissolver of this universe. As Ram Dass's article stated, we are going through tremendous changes. The world is evolving at a very rapid pace. Things are disintegrating, even the earth itself, before our very eyes. There are unreal accidents happening, and we turn on the television or pick up the newspaper or listen to the radio. Every single day we hear of some tragic accident that has happened, and sometimes many in one day. And we think all of the morbid thoughts, the end of the world is coming, and gloom is upon us. We're going to be destroyed. And I tell you this, that some may be, this is true. But what we should be thinking about is the destruction of the Son of Man, the human ego. We should be thinking of transforming the animal nature within us into that of the Son of God, the Christed one. Because each and every one that is here and beyond has the power to become an heir with Christ. If you will but pick up your cross, which is your body, and emulate him in every detail. To make him first in your life. Above all things, think of God first. Give him your complete love and devotion with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Do that, and then things will start to happen. The truth will be revealed to you. You will know that this body is the cross that is spoken of in the Bible. You will realize that he is the head of the body, again, the body, the church. This is the temple of the living God. This is the church that is spoken of. And yet all of the Orthodox churches today think that they are the body of Christ. In no way. They are merely a building. Some of them are made out of bricks, some of them out of cement, some of them out of wood, some of them out of straw. Some just erect something simple in a forest. But it is the body of every man that is the church, the temple of the living God. It is the body of man in which heaven is to be found. It is the body of man in which the Christ will descend out of the cloud of that heaven into your consciousness when you have purified yourself sufficiently to receive him. It is this body that holds the answer to everything that is in the scriptures. But because man was not at the time these scriptures were written ready to hear the truth, nor had he earned it, then a fairy tale, if you will, a parable, was woven around the truth. And it was covered up so that the blind, the ignorant, and those who had evil ways would not be able to take advantage of it. But to those few who had this burning desire within themselves, within their minds, their hearts, their souls, to reach out and discover the truth of the infinite, these men went into the laboratories of their own souls, and they experimented, they explored the inner kingdom until they came out with some fantastic answers. And these things are just not words, but they prove themselves to themselves the power and the glory of that which they discovered. They became filled with the light of God. They realized their oneness with God. They realized that there was only one creator, only one who should be given full respect, full allegiance, full love to, and that was God, the creator of everything there is. Do you think we can do anything by ourselves? In no way. We have to have a fountain of knowledge, of wisdom, of power, of love flowing into our bodies at all times. And the key to that is the flow from the infinite through the medulla of every single individual soul, and that positive and negative force goes straight through to what we call the Christ Center. And then it is distributed through the brain, down to, through the subspinal, or the sub-powerhouses, the spinal centers. And each spinal center has jurisdiction over the function of one part of the body. And it is constantly being charged, just like the battery of a car needs recharging. So also we need to be recharged from the infinite. Still, we are constantly thinking of all of the things that we say, that we do, that we discover, that we are responsible for. And we do it with a great human ego sense. And as long as we know that we do it, instead of realizing that it is God himself who does all things for us and through us, we will never become the great souls that we have the power within us to become. There are many tests that come to the disciple as he puts his feet upon the path. Sometimes when you first start in and you are totally determined that you are going to find the truth within yourself, that you're going to be obedient to God, that you're going to give up all of your bad habits, it seems as though all hell breaks loose and all of the things that you feared have come upon you. This is your test in the beginning. And there are many who draw away from that test and they run away with their back turned to the spiritual teacher and to God, going back into the pleasures of the senses, and also, don't forget, the misery, the trials, the tribulations, the sorrow, the hurt, all of the things that you want to get rid of. And as long as you remain in that state, so it will be. But when you're willing to go through your tests and to prove yourself in the fire of testing and to reach out beyond and above all that comes before you, to go through it and go to the other side of it, then one day you will start to feel the tremendous feeling of power, of love, of a complete change within yourself, such as you have never known before. Your whole being changes so that you don't want to associate with the same company as you associated with before. You are willing to give up liquor, alcohol, cigarettes, drugs. You are willing to change your habits of sex indulgence and lay everything you are and everything you have at the feet of the Lord and reach out and say, Lord, here am I, take me. Do with me as you will. Let me be your child and your servant. Guide me, direct me in all that I do. And when you go within yourself and listen for that still small voice, that voice of intuition, gradually it will grow and grow and grow until every time when you go inside of yourself, you will be given new truths. You will take a new and another step up the ladder of God realization. Your consciousness will expand. In the beginning, you may even have headaches. That is a very natural result of meditation and of practicing some of the techniques that are given. But don't worry about it. Just like the seed of a child is planted in the mother's body, and her body has to accommodate it by expanding to receive it and its growth. Just so, the seed of God realization is planted in your consciousness and in your heart. And as it grows, the expansion takes place, and sometimes you have a headache. Sometimes you have pains. Sometimes the serpent-like force which lies at the base of the spine starts to climb. It reverses itself from being constantly misused through a sexual indulgence, and it starts to go upward instead. And as you experience that, the body seems to catch on fire. And I've told you all, when that gets too bad, to put a nice pack on top of your head and it will dissipate itself very rapidly. But the time will come when there will be no more expansion because you will have realized the fullness of your growth. You will have delivered the Christ child within yourself. There will be no burning because all that was dross within you will have been purified. But it takes effort, it takes dedication, and you have a decision to make as to which road you want to travel. Do you want to travel the world of the senses and keep on being buffeted between the forces of so-called good and evil? Or do you want to take control of your mind, your body, your soul, and your destiny and become the master of yourself and therefore of your life and all that is within it? As you grow in spiritual developments, there are three tests that you must particularly watch out for. One is the test of power. And there are many, even advertisements in magazines of all types today, telling you how you can use your mind power, asking you to send for information so that you can have control over other people's minds, over their lives, over their actions. And they don't even know that this is being practiced. What a terrible thing to do, to invade somebody else's privacy. There's much going on in the way of hypnotic efforts these days. It is being used as a cure-all for many things, but don't forget that when you go put yourself in the hands of a hypnotist, you are putting yourself in their power, and if you do it over a period of time, the result may not be good. Many things can happen. And you lose control of that which, if you put your mind to it, you could do yourself. There are extenuating circumstances in everything. And I'm a total realist. And I make exceptions to every rule as God directs me to do. But I'm speaking in terms of generality. I think there have only been one or two people in all of the years that I've been teaching that I have recommended that they use this treatment of hypnotism in order to help them. And it has. It has brought them up. But I certainly don't recommend it. I recommend, rather, that you go within yourself and meditate, that you learn to control your mind, because everything in the way of your actions, your movements, your speech, originates in idea form and is brought forth into manifestation through these other faculties which you have been given. When you finally reach the state where you feel the power of God in you, and you are able to use this power, make sure that you don't think that you use it or that you have power, because you of yourself are nothing. It is your Father who doeth the works. Remember that always. I have, as I have told you before, through God's grace and totally with his help, raised a man from the dead. Many have been healed through God in this body. Some of them I haven't even been aware of the fact that this was being, that my body was being used for this purpose, and still, if I took somebody in my arms or laid my hands on them, and sometimes when I didn't even touch them, as happened with one saint in India, still this man who hadn't been able to get up and down by himself for 7 long years, through the tremendous impact of the Spirit of God, rushed to me, put my hands on his forehead, on his head, said that I was his divine mother, that I must accept him as my son. And I was flabbergasted. All I could think of to say was, whatever God wills. Then this man who hadn't been able to get up and down for 7 years got down all by himself, prostrated full length on the ground, and put his head on my feet and got up by himself. This was a man who had 3 ashrams and thousands of followers. Now, I didn't do one God-blessed thing. How could I take credit for it? In the case of the man raised from the dead, I knew nothing about it, but I was brought there, I was asked to help, and so I asked God, if it was his will, to show me what to do, and he did. But to this day, I cannot take credit for anything that has happened. Many times I don't find out about what my body is being used for until sometimes a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or sometimes longer. I know that I'm going through certain things, and I'm probably working them out, but I don't do it. I would be afraid to. I would be afraid to use power on any single human being unless God said, lay your hands on this one, do this, do that. No way do I move. And I do not want anybody who follows with me to do anything like that, because God is the supreme power in the universe. He is the healer, he is the doer, he is the sustainer, he is the everything. We of ourselves are indeed nothing. So when you feel the sense of power, if he uses you to do something, then don't take the credit for yourself and start to be filled with vainglory, but rather give all of the credit to him. It is your opportunity to develop humility. Another thing that you must watch for on the way up is to be self-righteous. When you have attained a certain state, to feel yourself better than anyone else, you are not. You are still just one of the children of God. True, you may have gone through tremendous experiences. You may have become master of yourself. But that doesn't make you any different or any better than anyone else in God's sight. It just makes you a more willing, a cleaner vessel that he may use, because he made it, to do his work, because he is the doer. What do we have to feel self-righteous about? Just exactly what? So, these things must be taken into consideration. And on the way up, many times, as you start to grow in numbers, then either you're born in wealth or with wealth in your family, and you're used to it, you're accustomed to it, and all the things that it buys. Or on your way up, you accumulate wealth. And what you accumulate can be used to store up for yourself, to be used to better your own situation, to get things for yourself, better houses, more cars, this, that, and the other thing. Or it can be used merely to satisfy your basic needs and then use it for the help, the upliftment of all humanity. So it is very, very important that you are not kept by any one of these three things on the way up. But if you persist, the day will come when God will lift you up. He will put you through whatever experiences He knows are for your highest good and which you have earned to go through. You have been here through many incarnations. And this is the time, the opportunity, when you have the very great privilege of realizing who and what you are in truth, to explore the inner universe of your own being, to reach out for the greatness which is contained within your God self, to find that self in the sanctuary of your own soul and become one with it, and once and for all cast off the creature, the beast, whose mark is 666. That is the number of man in his human ego state. Because the six centers below the seven spinal centers, the last one is where you find God, that is in your within your consciousness. But the others are attached to your idea body, your astral or electrical body, which controls and governs your nervous system, and finally your physical body. These three are the numbers 666 that are spoken of in the scriptures as being the number of man. And as long as you are still in the consciousness of man, you are still to some degree in the state of animal consciousness, because you have all of the desires of lust, of greed, of anger, of passion, of pride, of vanity. All of these various things are within yourself. But if you will make the effort to fix your mind upon God alone, to set yourself the greatest goal of all, which is to realize your true self and become one with that self, then all of the other things are going to be added unto you. But you're just not sitting with your hands folded in the meantime. You are listening to the voice of God every moment. You are realizing that it is through His power, through His blessing, through His word, through His strength, through His everything, that you are able to function and do the things that you do. And if you will only let go and let God and listen for His voice of direction, sometimes it's His direction that you do nothing. But everybody wants to get in the act, and each of us do many things, and many times they're very helpful, and they brought many, many changes in the lives, not only our own lives, but in the lives of others around us. And this is one way we serve God in one another. But sometimes it comes to pass that having done everything we know how, nothing has worked, and we have no choice but to put everything in God's hands and say, "Well, Lord, I've done everything I know how. If anything is to be done, You must do it." And when we do this, when we are totally relaxed, when we are totally surrendered to Him, we rise above the problem, we let go of it, and we let God. And believe me, He can perform miracles. I've had this happen in my life. I can't tell you how many times, so I know that I speak the truth. Because the truth can only be proven when it works for you. It becomes the fulfillment of prophecy. God prophesies within you. He gives you information. He gives it to you through intuition in the beginning, which comes and goes. That is the baptism by John. But it is not the baptism of the one which is to come, because finally when the price has been paid and the Christ has taken over your kingdom, you have become one with that supreme power within yourself. Then the flow becomes steady from God within your consciousness as to each separate thing that you think, say, and do. You no longer have the responsibility except to be the witness of that which He does through this form which He makes. And it is the most fascinating thing in the world to be that witness, to have so totally surrendered yourself to Him that there is nothing there but the Christ within you, and to watch how He performs. Watch how He handles every situation, every individual that comes before you. Watch how he provides for you. Watch how he changes your world. Watch how he turns that which was in darkness into light. That which was in poverty into riches. That which was barren into production of every kind. And you find gifts within yourself that you never dreamed you had. And it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. You can start this moment and make something of yourself. You can build a new religion based upon truth alone, not upon the name, I belong to this organization, I belong to this religion, and the full emphasis is on that. But I hate everything else. Nothing else is good except what I follow. They don't have the truth. I alone have it. And there have been wars and people have been killed because of this method of procedure in so-called religion, in so-called faith and following and love of Christ. How can they dare to think such a thing? There is only one religion, and that is the religion of truth. Many years ago, this is in the original teachings of my guru, he said, "Do not admire the dogmatism of any religion. I believe that dogmatism is due to material causes. Churches should be the laboratories of spiritual experience. Their dogmas should be burned and the truth retained. I want to bring to the minds of different religionists that the time has come not to hold on to the belief in dogmas, but let the mind of God freely flow through your hearts. My purpose is not to show the supremacy of any religion, but to reveal truth wherever it is." How wonderful. Then he went on to say, Self-Realization Fellowship, which is his organization, is not a sect, but offers a technique by which you can calm the body and the mind. To become a member, it is not necessary to change your religion. What is necessary is to establish a fellowship of all religions and to find the quickest route that leads to God. We do not try to monopolize truth. Do you see the beauty of that? If you are a follower of the follower of truth, you are God's child. We must have nothing but the realization of God, the religion of truth. So let us make up our minds to follow the truth. As Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Today I received a magazine from the organization. He died in 1952. The teachings are no longer recognizable, but that isn't important because each one can go within himself and find that truth there. But in that magazine was an article which belied, which destroyed everything that was said by this great master in this lesson, which was written back in 1938. Everything was gathered unto yourself. Anybody that dared to say that they were a disciple of his and to operate on their own or to dedicate to anything to him, no matter how great he was to them or how much he had done for them, was beyond the pale. How terrible, how terrible. And yet it is done to every great master who comes since the beginning of time. The disciples always seem to know better than the master. And the truth is that the master came to give through the price which he paid, through his own sweat and blood, so to speak. He has found the truth, and he comes and he gives it to those who follow with him. Then somebody thinks they know how to do it better, or that he didn't do it well enough, or his words aren't just right, and everything is changed around. And those that come, the pity of it, the terrible part of it is that they don't know that everything has been watered down, has been changed, and is no longer what the master gave. That they're getting fool's gold instead of the true gold of the Spirit. Somehow, if God ever permits me to write, I hope to find some way to keep it as God has given it to me, as he has put me through the truth. I don't want to change. Because unless you yourself have been through the fire of testing, unless you have gone all the way and returned, then you are not in a position to judge whether something is true or not. Write from your own state of consciousness, but do not change that which has been given. That is taking license of the first order. As all of you know, we don't operate under a name. We don't charge for anything that we do. Everything is on a voluntary basis here. People of all religions are welcome here. And I don't want anybody going out and being a missionary in the sense that you put your foot in the door, ring the bell, and insist that you have the only truth that there is, because you don't. God is everywhere equally present. And there are many great souls in this world who have paid the price for knowing the truth. But you can find that truth within yourself. And as God brings people before you or takes you to people and they evidence an interest in what you are because of what you have become through your following the truth, then they want to know, then give it to them. But don't force it upon them. I want freedom of will exercise. You all know the rules that I have laid down. And those rules are not for my sake, but for yours, because the temple of God must be kept pure. The mind must be kept pure. And you should reach out and do everything you can to maintain that purity, to choose the right friends, to live according to the commandments which are given in every great religion in the world, and not to make up your own rules and regulations, but to really get busy and find out the tremendous power, the tremendous light, the tremendous beauty, the tremendous love and peace and glory and bliss that are within yourself, that are your very self. This is what I come to give you, to broaden your minds, not to make them mad. I want to embrace all the world with the truth which God has put me through and revealed to me. Many of you have had some of these experiences yourself, and so you know that what I have told you in the past is the truth, because you yourselves have experienced it. But it will expand, it will grow, but it will only grow if we love one another. If we are friends one to the other, if we live the good life, if we give everybody the great privilege of worshiping God in the way that God directs him to worship him. Nobody is held here. If you take a vow of initiation, that is another thing. But you are told in many ways, many times, before you take that vow, that it is a very serious thing and should not be broken. Because when you break a vow that is taken before God, then there is a very definite karmic result from that. So you must remain faithful to your vow, but don't take it if you don't feel that you can keep it. But otherwise, you are free to come, you are free to go. Everyone that is here, somebody else is born. I haven't gone.